nervous too. I've probably lost the words.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lost the Words betting podcast. I'm joined, as ever, by my trusty co-pilot, Bradley Todd. Brad, hello.
Good evening, Tom. How are we doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. I don't have as much of a cough as I had last week, so apologies to
any of you guys
on the recording last. I think I muted most of it, which is good.
I didn't notice, to be honest, if you had a cough last week. I know you told me, but on pod, yeah, you sounded healthy.
That's good. Last week, Brad, it was, first off, elephant in the room, you had the winner.
I did have the winner, yeah.
Scarra, who you didn't mention on the pod. You basically, we whittle down your selections, don't we? So you obviously put your selections on a Monday, your favourite selections on your.
I left three out and Katsuragawa was one of them.
And he was one of them, right? And look, we have to do that. At the end of the day, you are offering a paid for service to people. There has to be value for that paid for service. You try your absolute best to pick out the three favourites that you like of your picks each week. And it just so happened that one wasn't one of the three, right?
It wasn't, safer bet was Ryo Ishikawa, seems, but it wasn't. He struggled.
No, exactly that. It's
but no, look, God, he was brilliant, wasn't he? He was class. Like, he really just came alive down that bat nine, and blimey. And it's quite fitting, really. Like, I was on his, he's won twice. That was his second professional win. And I was on his, he won this event 2 years ago, but that was when it was wasn't co-sanctioned with the DP World Tour.
Yeah.
And I was on him then at 30-1. So yeah, I got a really good strike rate with Katsuragawa. So I love the guy.
So let's get him back in some more events. I mean, look, he's got a DP World
Tour. We're going to be seeing him a lot more of him soon, yeah, won't we?
It was incredible how good he was, and I think what I would take away from last week's event in particular is just, do you remember we sort of talked about last week about how, yes, you do want to sort of pick out your sort of favorite Japanese players, but there wasn't so many that broke through. Like, they do play well but didn't necessarily have a chance to win last week. They were all over it. You know, they were, you know, dominant. I think they had five inside the top 10 last week, and Katsugawa was obviously.
Do you think that it helped that the DP World Tour hadn't played for a little while, you know, like quite a lot of the field? I think that definitely came into it. And
I think,
the Japanese, they also had an event fairly recently, didn't they?
You're absolutely right. So, I think nail on the head that the DP World Tour players didn't have that competitive edge that they had the year previous. They and also, I think that's going to be really important for the Volvo China Open this week, because I think that, I mean, I don't know, it probably has done, but like, going back to back weeks in China and Japan must really benefit a lot of players. And look, the China Tour hasn't been playing, as I think they've only played one event or so this season, haven't they? So similar sort of situation. Now, I don't think, Brad, that we're going to get five Chinese players in the top 10.
No, we're not, no. I mean, the Japanese Tour is at a really good level. It really is. I mean, it showed it last week, and he's just producing some extremely good talent. I mean, that Yuta Sugiura didn't disappoint, did he? It was 300-1, came tied seventh. Like, it's just all the stars showed up. Even Semikawa just missed out on a top 20. He was there going into the final round. So yeah, all the young guns were there. It's just an exciting period. They're producing some seriously good golfers, Japanese.
I had a top 40 little sort of fourfold.
Yes. I remember you giving me like hourly updates on how it was going.
So, 30 on Sunday morning, I was sweating over that, and the only person I could think of would actually respond to a text about it was you. So I was messaging you on that, and I couldn't believe that Sam Bairstow was the one that was going to threaten to.
Of all the guys.
So Takahiro Hitaji had already played hero ball on Sunday and shot a 65 to climb inside the top 30. And Bairstow, who was the 36-hole leader, was just in full reverse mode.
He was, yeah.
threatening to ruin the bet that had Segura, who finished 7th, and Kanaya, who finished 11th in it as well. So, it had Houghton Lee in it. It had Houghton Lee and
Kanaya. I haven't even mentioned what happened to bloody Yannick Paul. One shot behind going into the final round. That was the biggest collapse, I think, of them all. That was just disgusting.
The trouble is as well, Brett, like, there's too many cases of this season as well. Like, we sort of talked about how DP World Tour has got slightly weaker with the people that come out to the PGA Tour. They've lost a bit of depth, lost players that live, etc. And it's an opportunity for players like Soderberg, Yannick Paul, that Jordan Smith, that sort of range of player to really just stamp their authority. And I mean, yeah, he did anything, but I mean, he hasn't really recovered, I don't think, from making the Ryder Cup. Not making the Ryder Cup, sorry.
I don't think I'm going to back him again after that. It's going to take a lot. I mean, that was real, really tough. I probably will, but I mean, not for a long while.
I feel burnt by, well, I mean, I wasn't on him, but I feel burnt on your behalf by him. I feel burnt on Houghton a little bit. And definitely Bairstow. I mean, God, he went in full reverse mode. I mean, I think with Bairstow, at least, it's kind of like first full season, lot to learn.
Yeah.
You know, still trying to figure out what was best for him. It wasn't like he had a full ejection on Sunday. He just didn't hang around for the weekend, did he? So
it's the weekend, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's just a strange thing. I mean, Casey Jarvis got that penalty, didn't he? And then just went backwards from there.
Yeah. But I mean, his collapse makes, at least he finished inside the top 20 just about. Like, Yannick Paul, he finished the same as Best. You'd be gutted if you had him in your top four.
Second
into the final round and then nearly misses out on the top 40.
Terrible. But like Houghton, it didn't feel like he collapsed. It was a weird one on Sunday because everyone, it was so bunched, wasn't it? You just couldn't afford
it was very bunched, yeah.
And he just wasn't good enough. Like, he didn't really do much that wrong. He had a couple of putts that sort of slid by. It kept, even right up until the back nine, it felt like he had a chance to go forward and he just didn't. But look, I think a couple of the bigger name players played themselves into it at the last minute. Poseidon helped 65 in the final round. Tom McKinnon 65 in the final round, played themselves inside the top seven. Sort of made themselves look good.
Pavon, I thought, was going to be a feature in the final round. He fell away as well, didn't he?
Like, I mean, at least with like Pavon, I think it's like maybe a bit of a fatigue thing, right? Like, he's been here, there and everywhere.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
He's probably one of the better players in the field right now and just couldn't sort of hang on. But, like, yeah, I mean, just people like Yannick Paul have come in rested and...
Oh, don't, mate.
It's just mad, isn't it? So, definitely lots to take away from the week. I really enjoyed it, of course, last week.
Great event, event. Worth being tired for on Sunday, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think we've learned a bit. Like Soderberg sort of went backwards on Saturday, went backwards on Sunday, and then came forward again. Like, that was, I think, a good result. But yeah, I think we sort of learned a few things last week. So looking forward to diving into that with our players. And then, I mean, look, I didn't watch the Zurich Classic. I'm not going to lie to you. I literally didn't watch a single shot of it.
I tuned into the final round. I thought I had a good chance there, three within a few shots, but they all just collapsed as well. So yeah, weren't good. It was a week for collapses, except for Utah, who came through the pack.
That's the main thing, mate. But the only thing I saw from the Zurich Classic was Rory McIlroy singing. And look, fair play to him. Like, I'm glad
he shows up. He was carrying Lowry down the last few holes. He really was.
I mean, look, it's an event that they need to fix that. I don't know why they've got that Grant Thorns invitation. They should just scrap that, just make the Zurich Classic men and women, and just
I completely agree. Completely agree.
Because otherwise, it just doesn't work. You might just bring the match play back. Anything else from last week, or should we crack on?
No. Let's crack on.
Let's crack on. So we're at the Volvo China Open for the first time in a couple of years now on the DP World Tour. Brad, any takeaways on the golf course itself? It is the one that they used previously.
Yeah, it's got a new name, hasn't it? Hidden Grace.
Yeah, Hidden Grace instead of Genzon, is it?
Genzon, instead of Genzon. Yeah, no, I honestly, I think I prefer... accurate players here. If you look at leaderboards, the past leaderboards, it tends to be the more accurate players like Plollers that show up. I don't think you can overpower the course. So yeah, you can see, I looked at obviously form in Asia, but Le Golf National, Wiesberger, it's won both, Fleetwood, good form. I like the Hong Kong Open, well, Fanling, Fleetwood again showing up at both, Celtic Manor, there's loads of crossover there. So sort of some courses I looked at, but yeah, favouring accuracy for me.
It's really interesting because I thought there was potentially an opportunity to get your driver out there and you know, slightly more open, and because it's going to be soft.
Yeah, some, I think there's spots where you can.
I think maybe slightly more so than what they had last week. Like, it's not going to be quite akin to last week, maybe just a bit more.
A little bit more, yeah.
So looking forward to seeing that. I don't really remember the golf course that much, to be honest with you. Like, it's been so long. I mean, what, 2017, I think it was, when we saw... 2019, when we last saw it.
The Asian Tour's had it, the China Open and that in recent years. So that's what we've seen it there. So there's a few players in the field who've played in that field, played on the Asian Tour at this course. So they're coming in here. I think the winner from the China Open's got an invite this week. I think it was a Thai guy, so Wonarat. He won by like four shots. So I don't know. If we're expecting him to do something this week, it was a bit of a strange one when he won. So we'll soon see. But
interesting. Well, I'm not going to bet him, but interestingly, Sky did bet him on the show we do on the Mayor Media Network, and his reasoning was pretty strong. Like, if you look at it, like, I was basically saying that Chinese tours, you know, inferior to the Japanese tour, so we don't want to try to get too caught up in what they've done in China. But he's been playing well in Asia the last 3 or 4 weeks, and so is the Asian tour. And I said, when you factor in the fact that live players are going over there now, that's a stronger
field. Oh yeah, it is.
He is finding something. I think he actually benefited from Guxin Chen having a bit of a meltdown last year.
That was over the weekend.
So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on. And good pronunciation of his name is the main thing.
But he's a really big hitter, so I suppose that could go against the theory that it is like more accuracy over power. I think you need to put a bit of blend between both. I personally prefer accuracy here, is what I'm getting at.
I think you're right. It's not a one size fits all though. I think so much of it, like for the weeks of like, you have to be a massive hitter, Then last week it was like, and then you know, it was like, look, just as long as you get your ball round, you're in with a chance. This week, I think it's pretty similar. So looking forward to it. But looking at the odds board, Sebastian Soderberg 16-1, Jordan Smith 18-1, Tom McKibben 18-1, Bernd Wiesberger 22-1 now, Yannick Paul 22, Halston 25.
Yannick Paul 22-1. Jesus Christ.
I'm never going to be scared of Sebastian Soderberg and Jordan Smith as the 1-2 in the field.
No. Although I do like Smith, I do, but I cannot at that price.
I was tempted, wasn't I, to go with Smith last week. I sort of said, you know, it felt like the course suited and the odds were going there. But like,
he just doesn't win enough to be at that number, doesn't he?
He's not even getting close enough, right? And this is going to sort of come on to who we're going to talk about in a minute. I mean, I suppose he was second, obviously, at the Johnson Workwear, but other than that, he's been kind of middling. I don't think he's really the favouritism just yet, although he has been consistent. But Soderberg is obviously there for a reason, back-to-back second finishes.
Yeah, it's been brilliant,
He's been excellent. Tom McKibben, whatever, fine. So then we come into Bernd Wiesberger, who 22-1. Best price 20-1, 7 places is on offer, Brad. We're both going with him this week. I just mentioned there that Smith's not really getting in contention as much as I'd like. I mean, he's obviously had that second. And that's my only pause with that piece.
Well, exactly that. Yeah, he's played solid this year without actually contending, has he? He hasn't contended once. He's just been exceptional to the green.
And that's my thinking, right, is that, like, I keep thinking, right, he's going to go from bubbling under the surface to contending straight away. Like something's going to happen. It's just going to click, and he's going to make.
That's my thinking as well.
The difference with like Soderberg, Smith, McKibben, Paul, especially Haussong, even so far this year, we've seen them in contention and seen how they've reacted. We haven't seen Wiesberger and had the chance. Yeah. You know what? He's not ready to win again. Like, I truly believe if Sunday comes around, Wiesberger.
Oh, if he gets a sniff, he's a winner, isn't he? He is a winner.
And you talked about the ball strike, and he was top 12 in approach and tee screen last week, and he's been fourth and first in those two categories over the past 15 weeks. Slow start last week, but still finished top 25, and that was his fourth in six starts since returning from LIV. So he's not been better than 16th this season, which is obviously the concern, but we know he can win at this golf course. He done it, beat Tommy Fleetwood in a playoff in 2017. That was his fourth of eight DP World Tour wins. So simply put, Brad, like he's the winner of this field. I suppose you put him up there with like Joost Luiten and people like that, but he is the winningest player. He knows how to get it done, and we just need to see him get into Sunday contention, then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think it's just going to come down to the putter, isn't it, really? He keeps giving himself multiple opportunities for birdie. He just hasn't been able to sink them, which has always been his problem, but he acknowledged it on social media. He was like, he said he's been playing really solid. He just needs to find his groove on the greens and find more birdies, and that is literally exactly what he needs to do. And I saw that and I was like, yes, well, you know, and that's what we're thinking as well. And I think this could be the week that he does that. He returns to a course that he knows well, previous winner here, as you said. He's also played, I think, finished 14th here on the Asian Tour as well. So the course suits him. You know, he's really steady tee to green. He's proven it before here. Yeah, it suits his game. And yeah, he just looks the pick from up the top. As you said, he's the winner there, isn't he, in that bunch, who you'd fancy if it did. If they were all in contention, that top of the board, like on Sunday, you'd think, hello, yeah, Wiesberger is likely to come out on top out of the lot, given his experience.
I was hoping for a bit more of a price, I must be honest. Like, I was hoping sort of like 33.
Yeah.
Just because of that lack of contention. But
he's been so consistent. That's the issue, isn't it?
Just going to happen, I think, eventually. Like, I do truly believe that. And
yeah, me too.
When people go away and go on to a different tour, i.e. live with Bernd Wiesberger, you know, you don't know how long it's going to take him to come back. And I just think he's doing plenty enough. If his ball striking wasn't so good, I'd probably leave it alone, but it's everything's there to suggest he's going to break through again, and I believe he will. So looking forward to that. Haussong makes obvious appeals at 25-1. He's very good playing at home. I just thought it was short enough considering how disappointing he's been on Sundays recently. Alexander Levy is best price 40-1, generally 33-1. Bit short, Brad, for me.
I love both of them that you just said. Yeah. But, you know, the prices have come in big time on them. But Levy's just been, I mean, it's a great opportunity for him this week, isn't it? Like, I mean, he could just get his card back, full playing rights, but just with the win, he's done it here before. He's been playing really consistently well on the Challenge Tour. So, yeah, great opportunity for him.
I mean, look, we were texting back and forth at 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday about top 40 bets, and we sort of were already trying to look ahead at China, and sort of said to you straight away, Levy's the most popular.
He did, I think he has been popular. He has been popular. Yeah. Him and Haussong.
And look, rightly so. Like, you could say, look, it's all Challenge Tour form, but actually, when you look back at it, you know, this all started with a good finish on the PGA Tour last year, and it's kind of continued.
You asked the pros as well. There is not much between the Challenge Tour and DP World Tour. There is really not that much at all.
Seeing it, the players that are performing so well this season with Spencer. Yeah.
Exactly. There isn't much more. It's all mental. But really, obviously, there is a gap, but it's not as big as what people say it is.
And it's definitely not big now, I think, is the main thing, right? Like, when Arsenal's go up against Hatton and Fleetwood and Lowry.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's getting weaker and weaker, the tour.
I think that gap is closing. So looking forward to seeing him. I'd love to see him back full time. He's one of my favourite players.
Oh, it's entertainment, isn't he? He's brilliant.
So looking forward to that. But next up for me, I went to 66-1. He was kind of like 80-90-1 earlier. He's coming a bit. Jack Kruijswijk is 66-1, 7 places. Mm-hmm. He's just an improver, Brad, isn't he? Like, he was someone that struggled for a good period of his career, even just trying to win at home, which is not something you want to see from a South African player, really. But then all of a sudden, he's added a couple of wins to his resume. Late last year, he won the Vodacom Origins on the Sunshine Tour, and then he came back a couple of weeks later and won the Challenge Dormy Open. That adds to a previous Sunshine Tour winning in 2016. And then you just look at the consistency. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut since the Swiss Challenge on the Challenge Tour, I think it was last September. So he's been playing a lot of decent golf since then. He was third at the Limpopo Championship, 36 last week, which was driven by a lot of good ball striking, fifth in tee to green, fifth in greens regulation, I think it was as well.
Yeah.
And I just think with Krojcevic, like, he might be that person. We keep talking about players taking advantage of the slightly weaker fields. And like, he's one that's never really, he's not been the very best, like a Burmester or he stays in shorts or whatever, coming from South Africa. He's been someone that's been in that kind of Lombard, but not even quite as consistent. All of a sudden, at 27th at the Qatar Masters, 11th at the Kenya Open, 17th for the Johnson Workwear, three really good results. And then he finishes third at the Players' Championship back on the Sunshine Tour. And it was the opening last week where he was 12th going into the weekend, where I thought, yeah, okay, like, he's playing well. And then you look at the fact that he actually finished 11th here out of nowhere, really, the Asian Tour. I was really impressed by that. So Jack Krojcevic, improving player, decent odds going for him, for definitely at least a bit of each way value this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he caught my eye as well when I saw that, like, standout 11th place. Yeah, great last week. I mean, ball striking wise, very good. And yeah, as you said, it's just an improving player. I think last year when he won them two events, sort of close, I think weren't quite back to back, but I think two of them 3 weeks. Yeah, I was like, oh, hold on, here he is, you know, because he sort of wasn't playing very well before then, and that sort of sparked him into life again. And then since then, he's been brilliant. And I think he's come a long way since he sort of first come on tour. He used to get a lot, like, very emotional, lose his temper a bit. And I think he's sort of got that in check in recent years, and he's sort of reaping the benefits. So, yeah, I like it a lot. I think it's a good bet this week at the price.
Yeah, nice. I think this one, Brad, is definitely going to, your pick here, is definitely going to be the indicator of whether this is an accuracy or...
Exactly, like, yeah. Well, we'll soon find out. Yeah, Joel Gerback, I think 70-1, 8 places probably. You're going to need the places. Probably the best way to go. Yeah, it's his first full year on DP World Tour, and yeah, I've been impressed with how he's stepped up from the Challenge Tour, as we were just saying. It might not be as big of a gap as it used to be, but yeah, he's missed just two cuts from his last nine starts. He finished inside the top 20 on four occasions. His best finish of eighth coming in Bahrain. He's not a big hitter, as we just said, but he's deadly accurate, which is probably why he enjoyed India, where he finished 13th, and he finished 18th last week in Japan, where he was 8th going into the final round. He did rank out as the most accurate player in the field, 4th in driving accuracy, 2nd in greens and regulation. If accuracy prevails at this course, again, as it has done in previous years, then he should be in great shape. I also liked that he finished 2nd at the Hainan Open in China on the Challenge Tour last year.
Yep.
I was actually on him that week, and he sadly fell away over the weekend. But that looks a similar type of test. And talented Chinese amateur Wen Yi Ding finished tied 3rd. He has finishes of 2nd, 3rd and 7th at this week's venue, Hidden Grace. And yeah, on a separate note, I was actually really gutted when I found out he wasn't in the field, Wen Yi Ding, because he's been in excellent form out in the States on the amateur circuit. But yeah, back to Gerback, I think he looks a decent price this week. I've just been impressed with him since coming on tour, and yeah, I think he'll enjoy the test. Another one who's just an improving player, a bit of a late bloomer, so yeah, got a chance in.
Yeah, I think this all goes back to the kind of earlier conversation we had about you know, players looking like they're sort of late on in their career, but you know, you did lose 2 or 3 years of potential status and things like that because of COVID and things, so these players might have been around at 26 27 if that didn't happen. So not too worried at the moment in terms of sort of age profiles and where people are, and yeah, he's definitely improving. I think we spoke about Gerback the first time, and you know, typically he missed the cut. I think I bet him at the Qatar Masters, but he'd finished like 20th at the Raz, 8th Yeah. Is 36-0 lead. I think he was still like 300 or 400 to 1 that week going into Qatar and sort of played on value alone. He didn't really do anything, obviously missed the cut, but yeah, he's been really solid since then. So looks like he's finding his feet, which is good. Another player I think is finding his feet, Jongwon Ko. Ninth at the Kenya Open, final round of 64. Fifth at the Indian Open, where he was inside the top seven all week. And then 11th last week, where he shot 65 in round one to lead after round one. 65 on Saturday to get himself back inside the top 20 after a slow Friday. And then a 69 on Sunday to get himself into 11th. Now, interesting with Ko, because to me, he's this big hitter that would need sort of a wide open golf course to really do well. And those three finishes I mentioned there are all on kind of courses where accuracy has kind of come to the fore. So you talk about that kind of unique blend of what you need from a golfer this week. He might just have it in the sense that he can smash it when he needs to and generally does, but seems to perform well at the actual test and got off to a good start at Dubai Desert Classic. He was 12th and then really fell away. Raz was disappointing. Then he opened with a 68 in Bahrain, 13th, really fell away. Opened with a 70-14 at Qatar Masters again, really fell away. So there was already signs at the start of the season, okay, he's got one round in him so far. Then it was two rounds in Kenya, which made him finish inside the top 10. Then he was inside the top 25 after a couple of rounds of Johnson Workwear. And then, yeah, just the last 2 weeks, it's been like, okay, he's played almost every round, at least solidly, and got himself into those finishes. So looks to be a more well-rounded player over the last few weeks. I guess the concern would be that he didn't win even on the Challenge Tour, I don't think. So it's not a case of this is a player that we know knows how to win. It's just a matter of, you know, when. But I just think, Bradley, he seems to have everything about him that suggests he can go well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he, as you said, another improving player. And he's just, he's just been very impressive since coming on the tour last year, and he's got himself in the mix a few times. It's just a matter of putting four rounds together, as you say, of a lot of golfers, but that is simply what it is with him. And he's got himself there in good positions. But I think these last two results, it's the first time he's sort of put two back to back. So he could well be trending into something this week.
Yeah, he only turned pro in 2020 as well.
I remember I was betting him on the Alps Tour 2021.
Or the winner that year. So, look, his debut year on Challenge Tour, he was sort of 4th, 10th, 12th, was just solid more than anything. And, yeah, like I say, just I think he's, 25, 26 years old. He's just a solid player, right? And I think he's definitely going the right direction. And I think this is a good opportunity while he's in the form to carry on. So looking forward to seeing what Jongwon Ko can do. That's the kind of up to the sort of 80 to 1 range, Brad. Was there anyone else in that kind of range that sort of caught your eye?
I didn't go with Andy Sullivan because he's off a miscut and withdraw. But I do think that it would suit him. I gave him a look. Fabrizio Zanotti, you know, another accuracy merchant, you know, fairways and greens. He's had a good record here over the years. I think he missed the cut last time out. So, yeah, Richie Ramsey I was actually probably the most close to in this sort of range. Matthew Southgate as well, I gave a good look at. I didn't go with any of these players, by the way. Matteo Manassero, who you loved last week, didn't quite do it. He weren't far away from making the cut, but I actually think he could go well this week. Again, didn't get there. So there's actually quite a few in this range that I like, but I didn't. They were on the short list. But yeah, Manassero also played well at that Hainan Open, and he has a good record, I think, at Fanling. So that sort of ties in there with that comp that I thought. So yeah, I think he could go well this week. I hope he doesn't, for your sake and for my sake, because I've considered him.
I think the thing with me, like, he was sort of bigger than this price last week, and he, until missing the cut last week, was in really good form. So the fact that he's kind of similar price, well, shorter this week, is quite surprising to me off the back of a missed cut. Obviously, you know, as you referenced there, played well in Asia, but that was the reason why I sort of picked him. He's never set the world like this golf course, 29th, 24th, and 39th.
So yeah, of anything, it makes me feel better about the decision I made backing him at the price I did last week. But you don't get any points for finding value, do you? So
no,
there we go. But next one for me was Brandon Stone, who was generally 100-1. He's now 80-1, 8 places on the Betfred alternative plays market. Just a player, Brad. I think we've probably mentioned him a couple of times in the last sort of few months. Of just you want to keep an eye on someone that's maybe returned to a bit of form. It started middle of last year on the Challenge Tour. He had sort of 8th, 16th, 8th, 11th. Looked really good. He got himself back on the DP World Tour. And look, it hasn't all gone to plan. But when he makes the weekend, he seems to be a bit of a threat. So 4th, Raz Al-Khaimah. Pretty much all putting driven that week. 6th at the Dimension Data Pro-Am back in South Africa. 37th at the Indian Open, where you wouldn't really expect him to do well based on his kind of volatility. And then 18th at the ISPS Ander last week. He's just, I mean, look, he's wildly inconsistent, which is why he's the price that he is. Because at the end of the day, he's a player that we know at his very best is, you know, more than capable of winning a tournament like this. I think everything he's won by. He beat Bazain out by a couple of strokes in South Africa. He won by 4 strokes, I think, again in South Africa, 6 strokes in Scotland. So, you know, this is a player that really puts the foot down when he has a chance. And was inside the top 4 in all 4 or 3 of the 4 rounds at the Raz Al-Khaimah, who's 2nd off round 1. 6th at the Didata, even though he had a 2nd round 78. So he is definitely that sort of volatile character. But the 18th last week really encouraged me. Final round 66. Good ball striking, 15th in approach, 20th tee to green. I just think Stone taking a chance on him, especially with the fact that he was 2nd here on debut in the Shenzhen Invitational. And then even international, when he came back the year later, he had a really slow start, 74-71 to be 64th and basically just made the cut and then shot 64 on Saturday to fly up the leaderboard into 15th. On around was disappointing, but it just goes to show that sort of like 3 of the or 5 of the sort of 12 rounds that he played here were really good, or 5 of the 8, sorry, terrible maths, 5 of the 8 rounds that he played here, really good. So I'm willing to give Stone another chance at 80-20.
Yeah, he makes a lot of appeal this week for sure. Like, he's sort of that player as well that sort of just does carry on form when he finds it, doesn't he? Yeah. Sort of builds on it. So yeah, no, I really like him as well this week.
Next one for you.
Yep, next one for me is Tom Vallant, who was actually the first bet I placed today. It was a bit of a no-brainer. Had my eye on him. A big price came on Paddy Power early and I grabbed it. I think it's 200-1. This young man is a rising star. He was an excellent amateur, top 50 in the world. He won twice on the Alps Tour, got his Challenge Tour card, then wasted no time there. He earned his DP World Tour card via the Challenge Tour. He did leave it late. He needed a strong finish in the Challenge Tour final. I remember watching it. It was a really good watch, him and Marco Penge. But yeah, he came through with a 2nd place finish. He has struggled so far to adapt to the DP World Tour. There really hasn't been much to shout about, but he's shown glimpses. He had that opening round of 64 in Bahrain. But yeah, other than that, not that much at all. But that was until last week. He finished 7th in Japan and it was actually 3rd going into the final round. So yeah, he had a disappointing final round, but he hit the ball brilliantly. He ranked 8th in ball striking, 4th in accuracy, hitting plenty of fairways and greens. His irons was a standout. He ranked 2nd in approach. There isn't really much to look at him in terms of stature, but he's a bit of a pocket rocket. He packs a punch off the tee when needed. I've seen it. But accuracy is definitely more his game though, and I feel like this test will really suit. He also had a good finish at that Challenge Tour event, the Hainan Open, which I referenced earlier. Finished tied 8th. And what I like the most, similar to Brandon Stone, is that he carries form well. If you look at his results over the years since he's turned professional, good results usually come in bunches. This goes back to his days on the Alps Tour when he had back-to-back wins last year on the Challenge Tour on 2 occasions, 18th at the Irish Open, then 2nd at the British Challenge the following week. And then towards the end of the Challenge Tour season, he was 8th at the Hainan Open and then 2nd in the Challenge Tour final. So, yeah, I like his chances to build on his performance from last week and go well again. So I think he's a very good price this week.
Yeah, a player that pretty sure got out to a couple of first round leads or certainly close to.
Yeah, he did in Bahrain, and he certainly did on the Challenge Tour as well. He's someone that can come out hot.
So, I mean, look, I was really impressed with him on the broadcast while I saw him over the weekend. Like, obviously did fall away, but it didn't feel like it was a collapse. It was kind of just players passing by, right? And yeah, I was impressed really with what I've seen. I haven't really followed him that much other than just to sort of see his name, you know, pop up on leaderboards, which is always a good thing anyway, just to sort of see them randomly popping up. And yeah, another one that seems to be making a step up from the Challenge. So looking forward to seeing where that one goes. Reg, your final one, I don't know. You're going to have to talk me through this one.
Tai Chi Cho.
Yeah. Tai Chi Cho or Cho.
Cho, I think it is. I think it's Cho.
No.
I think so.
Talk to me why we should be betting Tai Chi Cho.
Well, first of all, he owes me nothing. He won for me at the World City Championship 400-1 last year, but I thought I'd roll the dice again just in case he does want to give me another triple-digit winner. But yeah, I like him this week. It's mainly because he's not playing that bad right now. He missed the cut by a couple of shots last week in Japan. He opened with a 72 and replied with a 67, but it just wasn't enough to make the cut. But he can definitely take positives from that second round. So yeah, I like that. He's pretty much a close home game for him this week. He's from Hong Kong, but he only needs to travel about 30 miles over the border to Shenzhen, China. So yeah, it's pretty much a home game. He was an excellent amateur, like Valent. He got up to 67th in the world amateur rankings. He had a breakout year last year where he won in Hong Kong, gave him status on the Asian Tour. And then he just had some really good performances on the Asian Tour. He had a ninth at the International Series England, sixth at the International Series in Singapore. And like these are events that have like some really good players in it now, like from Liv. He finished sixth at the Macau Open, another one close to home. And most importantly, he had a runner-up at the China Open at this week's venue. Yep. He wasn't in contention that week. He finished strongly with a round of 65, whilst runaway winner, who we've already said, so won by six shots. But yeah, Hong Kong Golf Club feels like a similar type of course to this week's test, as I said to you earlier. And it's obviously a winner there, and it's his home course. He just backs that up with decent finishes there, along with like Fleetwood. He's played well there, so yeah, I just feel like he's worth chancing. Obviously he isn't in the best of form at the moment, but there's some signs there in the missed cuts that he isn't far away. So yeah, I'm gonna roll the dice with him. I think it's a course that suits him, and I think he's worth a pop at big odds, so we'll see.
But when I looked at Odds Checker earlier, I saw he's one of the most popular bets. I thought, oh, it's going to be Brad or it's going to be Michael on Twitter that's put one of these out, because I didn't see him. And look, it's because of those missed cuts that I've not seen him, right? Like, but he did have that 14th place finish at the New Zealand Open, which I referenced with Takahiro Hitachi last week. That form he talked about last year in the International Series events is huge. Sort of shows that he's not afraid to mix it with the best players. He even played in the Open Championship last year. I just didn't think he was in good enough form. So when you mentioned it to me, I was quite surprised. But
that is the concern. I just feel like that 67 was enough to sort of think maybe he's found something in that second round. Maybe, you know, and at the odds, he might be worth throwing the dice.
Well, look, and the case you're making for him here, With that of there might just be something in those kind of missed cuts, or maybe just feeling a bit more sort of comfortable at home, is exactly the case I'm going to make for Guxing Chen, who was 400-1 this morning when I sort of messaged you about him. He's 275-1 with the eight places on Betfred now, which is what I'm going to go with. Look, he's just littered with missed cuts, right? But when he has made the cuts, he's been 46th in the Malaysian Open, 17th in the... I believe that was a Johnson Work, where he had a 64 and a 66 in the two middle rounds. He was 16th when he played at the Noville Cup on the Abema Tour. He was the first round leader there. And even when he's missed the cut the last couple of weeks, he was 76, shot 76 after round one at the Saudi Open, then shot 68 just to miss the cut. And then last week, 73 in round one, 68 in round two in Japan. So he keeps bouncing back, a bit like you just referenced there, with
Cho, that he just keeps showing a little bit of form. And look, at the end of the day, he loves his golf course. He's been third and second the last 2 years. He was a 54-hole leader last year, shot a final round 73, then was third after 54 holes in 2021, then he finished third. So apart from his debut where he finished 68, he's been really good here. And Sky made a really good parallel that when you look at it, it's almost like Manu Gandas when he played in India. But didn't really play well on DP World Tour, didn't play that well on Challenge Tour, and then suddenly finishes 11th in the Hero Indian Open. Now, the difference with Gandas is that we'd seen that he'd already won the Indian Tour, he'd had a 10th, he'd had an 18th, so we knew what kind of form he's in. What we don't know with Chen and Cho is what they would be like if they had a string of results on China Tour, right? Like Chen, if he'd had 10 China Tour events to play before this, then we could see him finishing first, fifth, seventh, whatever, you'd probably play him. But we just don't have that bank of form to go by. So it's a little bit of a shot in the dark of, is he playing badly or is he playing badly because he's not used to this level? And Brad, I mean, like, I think you've obviously been there. Like, being in China is such a language that, like, if you don't, I suppose he probably doesn't know much English, like, he probably feels so uncomfortable on tour. Like, he's got no one to sort of hang around with, probably can't communicate with people very well, he's young, like,
tough.
He doesn't get to go home, and it's not like a Hao Tong Li who can get by with a bit of English and has a bit of a profile and probably can afford to fly out a bigger group of people to feel comfortable, whatever. Like, Chen's at the very beginning of his career, right? So,
yeah,
I just think being back at home could spark something. And second and third in the golf course last two times suggests that we should have a look at him in 275-18 places.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, it's a similar case to Cho, really, isn't it? Really, like, they're both showing glimpses. They really are. They're just, I think they'll both benefit from a trip back home. Good opportunity for both of them.
Yeah, so we shall see. I'm looking forward to, they'll probably both make up my little top 40 bet this week and,
yeah,
and sweat up 4 o'clock on Sunday morning and text you on that as well. Should we move over to the CJ Cup Byron Nelson?
Let's do it.
That already makes me angry that it's called the CJ Cup
Byron. Yeah, not, I'm not into this hybrid event name. Either one or the other.
Because Cup isn't the business name, is it? Like, CJ is the business, isn't it?
I think CJ is, yeah.
So, like, CJ is like a sponsor. So it's
Korean sponsor, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's called the CJ Group. So why is it not just the CJ Byron Nelson? Why is it the CJ Cup Byron Nelson? That just, I don't like that. That's
well, the CJ Byron Nelson Cup would work so much better than just the CJ Cup Byron Nelson.
It's such a strange.
I
struggled to really get past that yesterday when I even
not getting much right at the moment, the PGA Tour.
They don't deserve any praise at the moment. So before anything else, I want to get on record that I'm not happy with that.
I'm with you there.
But look, we're not actually here to discuss the politics of what they call these tournaments. But yeah, I just want it on record. That's what I think. So going into the odds board, Jordan Spieth is the favourite at 16-1. Siwoo Kim 18-1. Jason Day, defending champion, 20-1. Will Zalatoris 22-1. Sung Jae Im 25-1. And then we've got Alex Noren, Adam Scott, both 25-1. Min Woo Lee 28. Brad, a little bit similar to BP World Tour. You can see why the two players are at the top of the market in Spieth. Yeah. Him, but not afraid of them
at the moment. No, not afraid of taking them on, but yeah, you can see why they're there. I think Jason Day's actually probably should be maybe shorter than Siwoo Kim, I'd say. I suppose he is in some spots. I'd probably have Spieth and Day out in front and then Siwoo. But yeah, I think, as you said, you have to have them there, but I think it was quite easy to look past them. You know, you can take them on.
But Spieth doesn't look like winning, does he? He looks a little bit lost. Purely like consistency over anything else. Like,
yeah, I've backed him. I fell for that a few times. I'm not falling for it. 18-1.
I thought he was going to, I was for sure thinking he was going to win the Heritage after his good Masters, and he didn't. And that was basically it for me. So I'm out on him for a little while.
So then Sanjay's interesting. Sanjay is interesting after that winning Korea last week.
And you've got the 12th at the Heritage.
Yeah, so he's definitely on the up. And we know he likes easy scoring conditions. Well, he likes both. Yes, showing up in both.
Yeah.
Tough. But yeah, I think he can win an event like this. But just don't know really for sure if at 25-1, am I ready to commit? Is he back to his best or not? But it's an interesting one.
It's always confidence boosting for him to go and play in Korea and win.
Yeah,
basically does it most of the time. He goes back right, but like he doesn't feel like the player he was like at all. I know that's easy to say when he's not playing very well, but he hasn't felt like that for a while now. And
it's always
felt like he was a player that was a bit harshly sort of voted against, and like wasn't given much of a short leash because Tom Kim had come along and all that sort of thing. But definitely sort of playing himself out of interest for me at the moment. So good to see him coming back, but not for me until we see otherwise. No, I don't think he's going to get much shorter than this. So we come on to your first pick of the week, Brad, with Adam Scott.
Yes, Adam Scott. I think he's very fairly priced at 25-1. Not usually the first player you sort of think of when taken in a birdie fest, but there's some testing weather about this week. I mean, it's expected, so yeah, it might play into his hands. He is a previous winner of the Byron Nelson Championship, won it in 2008. I think that's when Las Colinas hosted it. I suppose this year it's not even the Byron Nelson, as we've said, it's some CJ Cup hybrid thingy. But yeah, he also has three more wins in Texas, which was the Crown Plaza Invitational, Texas Open, Houston Open. He's an absolute killer in Texas. Well, he used to be in the early part of his career. He hasn't won in 4 years, which will no doubt be playing on his mind. He still sounds hungrier than ever when you hear him interviewed. He's working so hard, and he feels far too good of a player to go without a win for that long, in my opinion. And he's in decent enough form. He was 14th at the Texas Open and 22nd at the Masters last time out. He still remains one of the biggest hitters on tour, which, as we know, is very advantageous here. And his irons were brilliant at the Masters, ranking out 9th on approach. He's played at TPC Craig Ranch the last couple of years, finishing 32nd on his first visit and 8th last year. He shot two rounds of 63 last year, with a second round of 71 proving very costly. So, yeah, that more than shows his ability to go low around this course, which is obviously important. And it looks like at the moment that the weather might play its part, with rain and wind forecasted, I think, Thursday throughout to Sunday. So if that's the case, then we know that will help his chances this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Brad, this is where I'm going to put in my random correlation of the week. I don't know why this is the case. I don't know if it's just having a few short approaches and a bit of a wind about. You can get in both events, but there's been enough crossover in the Cognizant Classic, or the Honda Classic, as I like to remember it as, and this event, especially considering there's only been a three-year cycle of this event, this course so far. We've had KH Lee is a two-time winner on this golf course, two top sevens at the Honda. Austin Eckroat was second here last year and then won the Cognizant Classic this year at the same course. CT Pan, second here, third, 16th and 17th at the Honda. Ryan Palmer, fifth and eighth here. He was a playoff loser at the Honda Classic and also finished fourth there. Adam Scott, who's obviously brought this situation up, won the Honda Classic in the past, has finished eighth here, as you've already referenced. Daniel Berger, third here, playoff loser at the Honda. Sam Burns, second here, eighth at the Honda. Jonathan Vegas, ninth here, fourth and 12th at the Honda. Charles Schwartzel, third here and fifth at the Honda. This is my favourite. Bronson Bagoon, 13th here and 14th at the Honda. And Peter Malnati has finished ninth in both events. That's way too much correlation in a three-year isn't it? So I'm happy with that. It only strengthens your case.
Yeah, Adam Scott ticks another box there.
He does. So we're in for him. Now, the one player I was hoping it was going to tick a box for me for was Tom Kim, who is best price 30-1 with 5 places, 28-1 with 8 places. You might as well take Brad. We're both on him this week.
We're both on him, yep.
Another one, a little bit like Sanjay in respect, and not just a lazy comparison. Like it just felt like he all of a sudden just dropped off, right? Like he won that at Shriners, didn't he, at the end of last year, and
yeah,
backed up. Like, it was a bit of a tough run. He'd finished second, obviously, at the Open, but he was injured and then didn't really know where he was with his game. And then he's just been pretty dreadful for the most part.
Yeah, it's been great. No, it's been a terrible start to the year for him, really, for the most part.
The one sort of promising thing was that in the last couple of events, his approach play just comes to the fore.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
And that's really all I need to see. Like,
that's enough. Yeah.
To, events, right, to suggest to me that Tom Kim is, let's not say back just yet, because one, I don't think it's fair to say he'd gone away, really.
No, young boy, isn't he?
So that would have been harsh as it was. But his approach play, obviously, was brilliant, especially in the final round at Augusta. He then putted really nicely and hit his irons well at the Heritage. You combine both of those to you know, just...
Second shot course putting contest. It's like, that's what he's been... it's been red shit hot the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
That is the term I would definitely use, is shit hot. And like, he's played here twice now, 17th and 34th, which, you know, maybe on the face of it, people looking at Tom Kim might not be enough for them. But final round 65 here last year, 67, 66, 67 to finish on debut. This is just what he loves, isn't it?
Yeah, the birdie
fest. 24 under Shriners, 20 under Shriners. We know exactly what he wants. He wants this. His irons are good. So at 30 to 1, 28 to 1, the 8th place is probably Tom Kim.
He even proved his ability to play in the wind and at the Open last year, you know, which was impressive. Obviously, as a distant runner-up behind Harmon. But, yeah, that's definitely notable. So that come, and he's a Dallas resident now as well, so it's pretty much a home game. So I'm sure he's playing a lot of golf in Texas where the wind is always there, or if it isn't, it's close to being there. So yeah, I think he's improving, you know. He obviously had a poor start, as we've just said, no top tens for him. Some of his ability is a little bit concerning, but I think he is heading in the right direction. So yeah, I think he's worth chancing this week. And we know what he, as you've just said, like, we know what he wants. This is exactly what he wants, a birdie fest. He's proved it on three occasions.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, he's worth chancing.
I guess the only concern is it could get a bit long for him, but
that's the thing. Yeah, he's gonna be having longer irons in, isn't he?
Yeah, but other than that, I'm pretty comfortable with him. Then I come into Keith Mitchell, who, obviously, you know, if we talk about that Honda Classic reference, that's the only place he's ever won. He's hitting the ball so incredibly well this season. Mm-hmm. 6th in strokes gained off the tee, 11th in strokes gained approach, gives him a 7th in tee to green ranking overall, 11th in proximity to the hole. And then I think about Keith Mitchell, Brad, and I think about him as like needing a tougher test, not necessarily a birdie fest, which sort of said the same about Adam Scott, really. Like,
yeah, that's
But when you look at it, he's 32nd in birdie average, 22nd in birdie or better percentage. And earlier in the season, he shot 24 under when he was 9th for the Amex. So just a little bit of encouragement for me that actually, considering how well he's playing, he probably can do it. And then you look at his form in Texas. He's been 3rd in this event at a different golf course, 6th and 9th in the Houston Open and 14th in the Texas Open. He clearly likes it. So that elite ball striking, with the fact that he's played so well in Texas, with the fact he's actually making more birdies than you probably expect him to. I do like Keith Mitchell. He was 26th here on debut, opening 67, closing 66. And then he could only finish 76th here a couple of years ago, but obviously playing far better than that right now. The only concern, Brad, is he's not necessarily putting this elite ball striking to the best of use this season. And
I think that 77 at the Valspar Championship as well be a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
that was brutal.
yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you don't know what he's going to do in contention, but I just think at 40 to 1, there was enough.
He fits the bill, doesn't he?
Between him and Jaeger, really. I quite liked Jaeger.
Yeah, I like Jaeger. I gave a good look at Jaeger. He was on my shortlist.
I think he's getting a bit overlooked again now because he's won so recently. This happens for a little period of time. But he was 12th after 54 holes on his debut here, and then last year he finished 11th and shot a weekend 65-63. So I think Jaeger, who played really well at the Heritage for 3 rounds at least, was worth a look. So if he won 33 to 1, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
No, me too. I think he's an improving player, and obviously the added distance as well. It's just, yeah, goes really, it's a good course for him.
It does. Next for me, Brad, is a player that I always think of someone that you're going to play on the toughest golf courses. But Mackenzie Hughes, he's 45 to 1 8 places. When you look at his kind of career, both of his wins have been at 17 under. That's the first thing. So we actually know he can get to around the 20 under mark. You look at what he's done here in two visits. He missed a cut on debut, but opened for 68 to be inside the top 25. And then he shot 65 or 64 in the first two rounds last year to be second going into the weekend. Shot 73 on Saturday to basically end his chances, but then shot 65 on Sunday to come back. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at his actual career trajectory and where he's played sort of the best golf, Brad, I mean, the Honda Classic, he's got the second place finish there, so I love that.
Yeah.
But his one of his wins obviously was the RSM where he was 17 under, the other one was Sanderson Farm where he was 17 under, but he's also been second two more times at the RSM where you get some really low scoring, don't you?
Do, yeah.
63 and a 62 final round the other time that he finished second. On top of that, he was second again last year, like towards the end of the year, and he shot 60 in the third round and 63 on the Sunday. And then you look at the Travelers Championship, where I think he shot another 60. He did. He opened around a 60 at the Travelers Championship. So actually, you think of him as this kind of grinder that can sort of get up and down from anywhere and take to the tougher courses, which he does, like Honda Classic, Open, Valspar, like that is his sort of bag. But he also just comes to these courses sometimes and just rips them to pieces.
He can do it, yeah. He's got that in his locker for sure. Yeah.
I mean, look, a lot of that's to do with his putting, Brad. Like, there's no getting away from that.
His short game in general is just one. It's probably one of the best on tour. But chipping and putting, like, there's not many better.
And that's the thing, right? But like at the Valspar, he must have been at least top five in the field in putting. He probably led the field in putting. I haven't actually got the number in front of me, but it was ridiculous. He gained over like nine strokes, I think, and then putted really well again at the Heritage. The irons have been good in Texas two starts ago, so really only had two terrible weeks with the irons, but otherwise it's been pretty steady. The around the green game, he's gaining almost every week. The putter's got red hot in the last three events or so. So just with the fact that I know he can go low, with the fact that he played so well here last year, I really like him.
Yeah, I've been on him a few times this year. I think I was on him at the Valspar. He came close. He's just been playing really solid golf. I think he's another one that's added a bit of distance as well from recent years. So, yeah, could fare him well this week.
I was surprised you weren't on him. I mean, I
did give him a good look. I just got a little bit put off from the last couple of rounds at the Heritage. I just was enough to sort of like, and his game tee to green wasn't as good, so I think that's what put me off. But yeah, he could easily just bounce back from that. So he's got the game.
Say, took a couple of opening round 66s at the Heritage to be inside the top five going into the weekend.
Oh, he was there. Yeah, he was there.
Look, that was a tougher field, right? Not necessarily the easiest course, although you do have to obviously make birdies. But Houston opening 66, closing 65, 14th there, third, where he. He probably should have won that Valspar, Brad, that you're on him.
He should have. He should have.
So, I think he was second at the halfway mark at Riviera as well. So he's been around without really sort of, I don't know, just without people really talking too much about him. I know he's decently popular, but I like him a lot. So 45 to 1, 8 places for Mackenzie Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Next for me, Seamus Power. First player I put on my card. It's not a massive surprise. A lot of people have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a player massively improving over the last couple of seasons. Then went away, like really went away, didn't he?
He blows really hot and cold.
He was, you know, I'd sort of given up on him really. Like after sort of campaigning for him to get on the Ryder Cup team, he just sort of disappeared. And then all of a sudden he gets to the Valspar and he's second going into the final round. Finishes 26th there because he shot the final round 76, which I think was like, oh, look, I've been out of form, not really ready for contention. And then opens with a 65 at the Heritage, third round 66, finishes 12th overall. And then you come to his course form as well, and he's finished 9th, 17th and 19th. And it is his tournament, like it is his sort of thing. He loves going low. So look, I can completely see why he's a popular bet this week.
Yeah, he's popular, and I can see why a lot of people have jumped on. Yeah, for your reasons are spot on. He's another player. When he finds form, he sort of tends to have good results in bunches, doesn't he? Because he can, when he's out of form, he's seriously out of form.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. That's what sort of keeps his price where it is. Like if he was someone that wasn't so volatile, he'd be down this kind of 33-40 mark. But it's just his irons. His irons are, you know, dressed through his Heritage. His irons at the Heritage, I think, were his best
for a long time.
And that was only through two rounds as well. So I think the last time he competed a four-round tournament and had better irons was the RSM Classic, maybe the Abu Dhabi at the end of at the start of 2023. But yeah, it's been a while since he done that really hot run of form he had there. So really caught my eye how well he hit his irons at the RBC Heritage. So James Power is in. Brad, I'll let you put one in now.
Garrick Higo, yeah, the South African. I've just always noted Higo as a birdie machine ever since that Canary Island swing that we had on the DP World Tour back in when was it 2021 2022. But yeah, that period, I just remember he finished first, eighth, first over three events. The winds were crazy. He won by six shots at 27 under and two shots at 25 under. So yeah, really impressive. And they've always stayed in my head for some reason. He hasn't been able to push on like a lot expected after his win in 2021 on the PGA Tour, but there's plenty of enough time on his side. He had a confident boosting result of Ryan Fox at the Zurich with back-to-back rounds of 65 over the weekend. Finished fourth, so yeah, he could come into a bit more confidence this week, and it might well be what he needed. He obviously now arrives at a course which on paper should suit him, down to the ground. He's one of the longest hitters on tour. He ranks 13th for driving distance. He has three wins on bent grass greens, two in South Africa and the other at the Open, the Portugal Open on the Challenge Tour, I think. And he also finished 13th at TPC Twin Cities last year at the 3M Open, which is a decent comp. Distance off the tee is an advantage there. Bent grass greens and birdies are the name of the game. So, yeah, I really like that. And more importantly, he played relatively well at TPC Craig Ranch last year, which was his first visit. And he finished 30th, closed around a 65, which was his best of the week. So, yeah, he ticks enough boxes for me, and I think he's worth chancing at the price. You can get 90-1, 10 places with Ladbrokes. You can boost that to 100-1. So I think that's a really good price.
Yeah, one that I thought you were going to have to sell to me, Brad. Now you're selling it to me. I'm sort of selling it to myself. So you look at that Palmetto Championship win in 2021. He beats Chesson Hadley, Tyrrell Hatton, Doc Redman, Hudson Swafford, Bo Van Pelt and Jonathan Bakers.
There's some Honda winners there.
There's the Hondas, right, in the Jonathan Vegas. But also, when you look at it, so Tyrrell Hatton was fifth in this event last year. Doc Redman was ninth in this event the first year that he came here. And Jonathan Vegas was ninth here in that same year as well. So you've got six players that he beat, had top 10 finishes at this golf course as well.
I love it when you find something extra just to bolster up my...
I don't know. I've probably spent more time bolstering your picks than I do mine.
I love it.
I think it's just because I have time to literally sit there and go, why is he doing this, and try and work it out. So there you go. And then it's not the reason you've picked it.
I've got there a completely other way.
Yeah. But, you know, who knows? Maybe that's why we both get there. But, a lot to say that I do like that pick. I can't decide what I'm going to do with this person. Peter Quest or Quest.
Peter Quest.
He's now 80-1, 8 places. Obviously popular for a good reason. coming into good form again. He was 14th here last year, finished 67-67-63. I don't want to let prices dropping put me off. He was obviously 10th in the Texas Open, where he, you know, was inside the top 10 for three of the four rounds. He was just bad on Saturday, and then he was 9th at the Corrales. Brad, I just don't know, I don't know if I want to stick with Questy or not this week.
I think so. You know, I quite like him. I think he's like, he takes his opportunities. He obviously hasn't been great on the Corn Ferry Tour, but when opportunity comes on the PGA Tour, he is making cuts. He's getting in contention. You know, that's, it's crazy. And I think he's got another good opportunity this week, and it's actually a course that he played at last year, and you know, which he hasn't had that many times. So he comes back to a course that he's played well at. He's obviously finished 14th, closed with 63. So I think you can make a really good case for him. And he's a massive hitter. Like, he will be one of the biggest hitters in the field. So, yeah. And his stats have been brilliant as well. What was he? Seventh in, I'm just looking now. Seventh in driving accuracy, 11th in green regulation at Corrales. He was second in driving distance at the Texas Open. Yeah, hit it well, tee to green there, gain across the board, all strokes gained metrics. So yeah, I think he's popular, but he's popular for a reason. Yeah. I do understand it. And I think if he was like 60-1, you'd be like, I think at 80-1, there's enough juice there.
Yeah, I think so. So Peter Kest is there. I'll let people make their own judgment on whether they want to stick to him, depending on what happens with the price. But I do like Peter Kest. So that leaves me so far with Tom Kim, Keith Mitchell, Mackenzie Hughes, Seamus Power and Peter Kest. I've got one more that basically, whilst I was talking to you before we came on, I've decided is the winner, which is always dangerous. It was Takahiro Ataji in that spot last week when I was waiting for Sky this week. It's someone else for me on the PGA Tour. But let's get your final pick, Brad, and then I'll go into that.
Yes, so I'm pretty confident about this one as well. This, I feel like this is this week's winner. I know what you're thinking, Tom. Here we go again. But this is the week Sam Stevens gets over the line. And yeah, I've probably said that a few times, but I really mean it this time. I think this is an excellent course. Excellent course for him. He's one of the biggest hitters on tour, can make birdies for fun. This guy always appears in Texas. He had a lot of success there on the All Pro Tour, which I've probably said a million times, a development tour that stretches across a few states. But yeah, play a lot of events in Texas. He won the Order of Merit in 2020 and was runner up in 2021. But yeah, he's come a long way since then. He's shown his admiration for Texas. He's yet to miss a cut from 6 starts on the PGA Tour when held in Texas, so that's pretty impressive. He also came close to grabbing his first title at the Texas Open in 2023, finished runner-up. He's playing well at the moment. He's made 4 consecutive cuts, so that's pretty impressive. And he finished 4th last week with Barjon at the Zurich Classic, which, yeah, I feel like, you know, you can't really look too much into Zurich Classic form, but it is a bit of a hit and giggle. But I think, you know, if anything, with players that are out of form, it's going to give them a lift no matter what. Yep. It's going to give them a lift in confidence. So, yeah, I like that. And he finished 34th here last year. He came out hot with around a 65. He was actually 6th going into the weekend. But faded with 2 rounds of 69. But yeah, that won't be the case this week, as he's going to go on and win. So yeah, Sam Stevens. I think 90-1 Unibet is the best price, 6 places.
Did Sam's, this could be completely wrong, I'm just looking, he missed the cut the last couple of years, but I'm pretty sure Sam Stevens, when he was making his debut at the Honda Classic, didn't he play really well for a couple of rounds?
He did, yeah, he did. That was like one, that was when he first sort of came, I think that was, he might have still been a Corn Ferry Tour player, I think. Yeah, I think he came in as a, let's have a look quickly.
He finished 55th, but I'm pretty sure he like...
I'm having a look now, mate.
He shot 4 on the final round, so that wouldn't have helped his chances. I just don't know where he was in the
first 22. Yeah, he was 70. He shot 70 in the first round, 68. So that would have put him probably
in the mix,
right in the mix. Yeah, he missed the cut the following year. Yeah.
So he might have had a good couple of rounds at Honda as well. So if there's anything in that,
There we go. I sure hope so.
Making your case for you.
as always.
Here's the one that if there's anything in this Honda Classic thing, then I'm one,
quits in.
But two, just like really excited about this player who you put up last week in the Zurich Classic. And it's David Skins, who, for whatever reason, suddenly learned how to play on the PGA Tour in recent weeks, which is good. And yeah, I just think his best finish so far this season was the fourth at the Cognizant Classic. He was a 54 hole leader there. He was seventh at the Houston Open. Again, he was the 54 hole leader there. So he's got Texas and the course that I like as a corollary. He played really well last week. He had a chance. I think they were within three of the lead, I think you said.
Yeah. 200 to one, him and Tara. And they were three shots off going into the final round.
There you go. So they were in the mix. And then you look at David Skins' performance here last year, Brett, or 2 years ago when he made his debut. He finished 38th, but he opened up a round of 66 to be seventh after round and 63 in round two to be the 36-hole leader. So all of a sudden, David Skins, who we know is capable of winning at A level, you know, having won on the Korn Ferry Tour, I think it's three times now. He obviously won last year and got himself back onto this tour. Very, very good Korn Ferry Tour player that hasn't really been able to find it so far at the PGA Tour level until this year, where he just seems to be ready. I think this is the two top tens he's had on the PGA Tour were this year. So might just be finding it now. And I think at 200 to 1 with 8 places, based on the confidence he had last week, based on that Honda Classic appearance,
it's levelled up, hasn't it? It's just levelled up.
I think he's there, Brad. I think he's the one I was looking for at a big price. Like, this is a sort of tournament that David Skins finishes inside the top five and you don't batter an eyelid because you just think, it's just that type of tournament, right? So
I'm looking at what he is on the exchange now because it would just hurt so much. 310.
There you go. A couple of quid on that. He's one of those people, I think, that just he's either going to miss the cut or just be inside the top 15, 20 going in Sunday. Like, he just, bit of an enigma. Maybe not quite. But then, you know, he's a lot older, but like Steven Yeager was a similar profile, like very good.
Skins has been grinding all his life on like the smaller tours. I think it's like the Hooters Tour or whatever it was. You know, like, I can't even think of the name now. It was like a level, one of the satellite tours for the Korn Ferry Tour ages ago. It's folded now. But yeah, he used to win on that. Then he got onto the Korn Ferry and he's been grinding, trying to get his card for years. Like, he's finally here and he's not wasting his opportunity at all. Like, it's like he's thriving and it's great to see. So also, yeah, I think it's a good bet.
Loves to put form in sort of bunches, doesn't he? Like when he won last year, it was coming off a 19th place finish, and he went 3rd, 9th, 3rd, 17th in a 4 week span. In 2021 he did similar, went 2nd, 6th, 16th, 8th and then win. In 2020 he went 5th, missed cut, 22nd, 18th. Like, you can see just going on day to golf and tour tips, it's like when they're a standout performance, they're normally followed up by another one. And look, he's been 7th, missed cut, and 11th for the last 3 weeks now. And obviously the 11th was a team event. But yeah, just encouraged that he's had two really good putting meets, the two times he's finished in the top 10 this year. But who's to say that he won't have another good one this week? That's, I don't really care how he gets it done. It's just that he does. So yeah, I wonder what he putted like here. Yeah, so he putted really nicely here in 2022 as well. So it might all come down to that, but 200 to 1, 8 places, I'm fine with that. So, lovely. David Skins, 200 to 1.
Very nice. I like it.
I think that's it, Brad. I think that's it for me.
Yeah, there's a few placement bets I'm looking at this week. I mean, there's I'm not sure if I'm going to commit to them. I haven't even looked at odds, but obviously, Tiger Semenkar was in the field, which is interesting. But he's not the one I'm sort of looking at. There's Zaycheng Dou, the Chinese guy, who played really well last year. It's his home course. So I think he finished 5th. He had like the 36-hole lead. It might have even been 54-hole lead. I'm not even sure, but he was right there. I was considering him. But yeah, he might be a placement bet. Obviously, my guy, Paul Bargeron, who I put up for a top 40 a few weeks ago at the, I think it was a Texas Open. Yeah, San Antonio. It was local there. Again, good course for him, big hitter. So he might get a placement bet. And yeah, they're just two I'm looking at. I mean, Hayden Springer, another one. He links in with Sam Stevens. He had the same development tour experience on the All Pro Tour, and he's been showing glimpses this year. Based in Texas, big hitter. So yeah, he makes a pill. So there are a few that I'm looking at, but I haven't decided yet where I'm going to play him.
Another one I would potentially put into the mix a bit. Kevin Tway was 11th here last year, and he's just sort of playing a little bit of better golf now. 37th at the Club Carnegie Corn Ferry. Then he finished third at the Crowders, didn't he? And then 11th in the Zurich Classic last week. Can't remember who he was partnered with, but obviously helped him out. 32nd at the Puerto Rico Open as well. So I could see him finishing inside the top 40 this week. So those ones that you've put in there. I like it.
Possibly Pearson Coody as well. I think he's another local. He's been coming off a good before. Oh, him and his brother didn't play too well at Zurich, but I think they both played well. They both played well at Corrales. So I think that was their best result of the year so far. So yeah, they could both of them, Pearson Coody and Parker Coody, could be. I think they're both quite local, and both massive hitters. So they could. They could feature this week again, top 40, maybe top 20, but they're both good enough to even be in the top 10. So if they're on the game, yeah. Talents, so, yeah.
Let's summarize our picks then, mate. So
back
to the Volvo China Open. So for me, it's Bernd Wiesberger. I'm going to take the 20-1 7 places now, because the 22-1 all.
Six places with Betfred alternate place market.
If you want to take that instead, that's good. Jack Krojcevic at 66-1 with the 7 places. I'm going into Brandon Stone 80-1 8 places. John Wonko 80-1 8 places, and then. Why can't I find the final one that I've gone for? Oh, Guxing Chen is now 275-1 8 places. Your picks for me, that's the Volvo China Open.
Yep, I've gone for Bernd Wiesberger, like yourself, 22-1 6 places. That's with Betfred alternate place market. Then I've gone with Joel Gerbach, 70-1 8 places, Betfred, the same alternate place market. There is 80s about of Unibet, but I hope we don't, but I think we might need the places. Then I've gone for Tom Vallant, 125-1 Unibet, 6 places. And then I've gone Tai Chi Cho, 150-1 Betfred, 8 places. That's the alternate place market.
Over to the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, which I'll never get over. We've got Tom Kim, 28-1 8 places. Keith Mitchell is now 35-1 8 places. Mackenzie Hughes 45-1 8 places. Seamus Power 50-1 8 places. Those are the ones I really do like a lot. And then I've gone with Peter Kest 80-1 8 places. And then final one was David Skins at 200-1 8 places.
Love it. I've gone with Adam Scott, 25-1, 8 places, Paddy Power or Betfair, sorry. Then I've gone with Tom Kim, I think 30-1, 6 places, Unibet. It's the best price. Garrick Higo, 90-1, 10 places, Ladbrokes. You can boost that to 100-1 if you have that available. If not, you can take the same price for Coral. And then I've gone with this week's winner, Sam Stevens, 90-1, Unibet.
There we go. So we've all got some big price players this week. We've got a couple of standout Chinese long shots in the Volvo China Open. We've got some lively outsiders in the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. I'm never going to stop saying it like that. and you've added some placement bets on the end there. So looking forward to it, Brad. Should be a good couple of tournaments.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
We've got another 87-week break on the DP World Tour to two off this week, so that's a bit disappointing. But back to next week. I can't remember what event it is next. Is it the Palmetto event next week on the PGA?
I don't know. Is it? I didn't think it was.
Beach, is it? That's what I was thinking of. It's replaced. It's where George Bryan, I think, is an invite for his YouTube exploits. So,
interesting.
Beach Classic next week at the Dunes Golf and Beach Club. So, I've got a couple of tournaments before the PGA Championship to come. Brad, thank you very much as ever.
Cheers, Tom. Enjoyed it.
I think good win last week, and we'll catch up again soon.
Yep. Cheers. Best of luck, everyone.